thank you for joining our show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you again for joining our show today. I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with our co-host, Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as to uplift them and provide them with a new life and a new perspective of a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12 by my biological father. Then I was raped at the age of 13 by my stepfather, and then continuously raped from the age of 13 to 18 by my biological father, as well as my stepfather. Then I met my husband at the age of 19, and he sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abused me, and I was with him for about 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help men, women, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. What about yourself?
I just logged in about 5 minutes ago, so I still feel like I'm going fast forward. But other than that, I'm good. Glad the day is almost over.
We have our days, right?
Yes. So tell us what you got for us today.
Well, we want to start with our fundraisers. We have several fundraisers that we would love to have everybody to support us with. We have our Kroger Plus Reward. So if you currently have a Kroger Plus Reward card, if you will, or if you don't have one, if you go and get a Kroger Plus Reward, and if you go to register at Kroger.com, and once you register, if you will go and click on start typing in We Are, then We Are Survivors will come up. If you link it to We Are Survivors, according to what you spend each quarter, then Kroger's will give us a donation. You're not doing anything different. Just going shopping like you normally do, according to what you spend each quarter. They will give us a donation. The same thing with Tom Thumb. You link your card, or if you don't have one, if you go and get one, and you link it to We Are Survivors, according to what you spend each quarter, then they will give us a donation. If you need assistance with any of those, if you'll if you'll text or call me at 817-320-2571, then I'd be happy to assist you in getting those linked up. We also do the Compass Bank Rewards, which if you link your account to We Are Survivors, according to what you use, they will send a donation. So out of all three of those, you're not doing anything different. You just use your account just like you normally do, and those institutions will give us a donation. Then we do the Purple City Project, which is where you go and take pictures, and that one, I always let Wanda explain that one because she's already taken her pictures, and she took beautiful pictures, so I will turn it over to her and let her explain that one, and then we'll come back. Go ahead, Wanda.
Well, thank you. Yes, there is, it's called, again, the Purple City Project, which is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign, and the photographer's name is Charles, a.k.a. City. He can be reached at 214-591-1370. Again, 214-591-1370. He has four different packages, and just to explain where this money is going, a portion of the proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to provide hotel rooms for men, women, and children who call, because in case you all don't know, there are only 188 beds in Dallas County. And for those who are from Dallas County, or even those who know anything about Dallas County is a ginormous county, and to only have 188 beds is the reason why this is so important. And I know people, I had a conversation today, people don't mind supporting cancer survivors of whatever sort, but when it comes to domestic violence, because no one wants to talk about it, it's happening. So we won't shut up. We'll still be here, and we'll still be asking for money. I'm going to go over the top two packages. And the first one is a $55 package valued at $100. It's a 20-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots, and one look, which, ladies, that means one outfit and two edits. So for $55, you get to pick two of your pictures and take them home. Then you have your $80 package, which is valued at $160. It is a 45-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots, two looks, so you get to change your clothes, and four edits. So for $80, you get to pick four pictures to take home. We also have our It Works products. We are distributors of that. As women, we like to look good, feel good, you know, hair, nails, weight, get your vitamins in, your greens in. So It Works has a lot of different great products. I use them. The fat burners are awesome. I just had a associate of mine buy some, and she's a nurse, and she cannot believe how they are working on her. She's extremely excited. And the products are extremely reasonable as well. So if you go to our new website that's up today, if you go to WeAreSurvivorsFoundation.org, that's www.WeAreSurvivors.org, we have an area on our site where you can click, we want to lose weight, and it takes you straight to the It Works products, as well as paparazzi jewelry. As I stated, as women, we always like to look good. Now, they do have men accessories as well, but every item on there is $5. So once again, if you go to our new website, and which is www.WeAreSurvivorsFoundation.org, you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you will see a button that says $5 paparazzi jewelry. Once you click on that button, it will take you to the website where you can actually shop for your jewelry. It's really easy, really simple. Some people need, you know, to have something tangible for their donations. Well, we have, for those people who like to get something, there you have it. Also, we have to also go over events before we let our guest speaker come up and tell us about herself. I want to acknowledge the fact that this Saturday is the Heart and Heals event. I went last year. It was amazing. It's educational. A lot of women that are there, and the discussion, of course, is about a healthy heart. That is Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It is at the Hilton Garden Inn in Duncanville. The address is 800 North Main Street, Duncanville, Texas, 75116. It is a ticketed event. So if you want to purchase your tickets ahead of time, it's what they're actually requesting, you can go to www.squareup.com, and that's S-Q-U-A-R-E-U-P, squareup.com. And the price is really reasonable as well for all that you do receive. I went last year, and it's a blast. And then also, for our partner in Finland, I know we won't be able to attend, and I'm saddened by that, but this Sunday, they have their first dinner party, the Gorgeous Ladies Dinner Party. And, of course, I cannot pronounce the street. No way on God's green earth. But it is in Helsinki, Finland. So the dress code is gorgeous, and it is the first Gorgeous Ladies Dinner Party that is in Finland. So I wanted to talk about our partner's event, even though we will not be able to go to Europe for that event. And also, March 18th, is the Sophisticated Sip. This is a black tie benefit concert for We Are Survivors. To get your tickets, it's Saturday, March 18th from 6 to 10. And it is 2229 Avenue J, Suite 106, which is in Arlington, Texas, 76006. And it's at the Santoni's Event Center. Again, that's 2229 Avenue J, Suite 105, Arlington, Texas, 76006. It is a black tie benefit concert in honor of We Are Survivors. Those tickets are available on www.runconference.org. Again, that's runconference.org. So that was those are the events that's coming up for March. There's one more, March 25th, which is a panel discussion that We Are Survivors are a part of. Once it gets closer, I will definitely give that information to you. I also want to announce that tomorrow will be We Are Survivors first. We have been blessed to have another live radio / TV show. It's a radio show with a twist because we will be broadcasting live on Streamline Television. We are really excited. I can say, speak for myself, extremely nervous because we're live and people can see us. So we not only have to know what we're talking about, but in the same token, we can't, you know, at home or on this Blog Talk radio show, we can just kind of be in our pajamas if we choose to, or like Anna is making some chicken. You know, you can be in your own little space. But starting tomorrow on our second show that we have, like I said, been blessed with, we're actually in a live studio setting. So it's kind of interesting and almost intimidating. But, hey, God has opened this humongous platform for us. And it's powerplaytv.com for those who want to look up the information. Our show, again, was going to be the same as this, We Are Survivors with Wanda McKinley. We will be on every first and third Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And, again, that is powerplayradionetwork.com. And our first live show will be this Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So if you have time, please go to powerplayradio.network. We would love for you to view and give us your comments, critique, give us some ideas. Because like I said, this is all new for us, and we're winging it. And every time we get in front of the camera, we'll be winging it. So we are open to comments. And like I said, on our new website, I'm going to keep saying this, our new website, because the designer puts so much effort into this, and I love it. Go to www.wearesurvivorsfoundation.org. It is amazing, and I'm excited. So I've talked enough like I always do. I am going to actually hand this back over to Stephanie because today I'm excited. Stephanie is running it. I don't have to say anything. So, Stephanie, the radio waves are yours.
Hello, everybody. Again, I'm Stephanie Kennedy Alford, and I want to introduce our speaker for tonight. I was actually introduced to tonight's speaker, Ann Smith, and she's an awesome lady. We call her Ann. When I was introduced to her, I'm going to let her tell you her birth name because we mispronounce it or say we murder it. But I was introduced to her by a mutual friend of ours, Charlie, who, again, he introduced me to her as Ann and her husband, Robert, on my birthday, Friday. And man, when she told me, he told me that she and I needed to talk. and that I needed to hear her story. He said, you need to hear Ann's story. And she shared her story. I knew that some of the others really needed to hear her story. I knew many needed to hear her story. And so without any further ado, I'm going to open up the show and let Ann share what in her heart desire that she wants to share. So, Ann, go ahead.
Hi. Excuse me. My name is LaGaysa Ann Smith. And my mom and my father were alcoholics. I mean, they drink day in and day out. I mean, they never had any time to say I love you or anything. So, you know, they had their own thing going. And from there, as time went on, my mom got sick with cancer real bad. And earlier in my life, I was molested by several family members. So, you know, when you're a child and you look into people, when you're 7 and 8 and 9 or however, and you look into family members to protect you, you know, they're supposed to protect you from that. But due to the fact my mom and dad were alcoholics, that's what they was thinking about. They weren't thinking that nothing like, probably wasn't thinking that nothing like that would happen or whatever, but it did. And my dad's brother, he was a pastor of a church. And he touched me, and because my mom said they used to had domestic violence in our family, you know, and the police stayed at the house. So when they get right up, we used to go to my uncle's house and stay, and he would touch me. And I woke up one night, and I was screaming, and he turned on the light and said, oh, it was a bad dream, go back to sleep. But I knew, as a child, I knew that was a bad dream. You touched me, and I'm not, you touched me. And from there on, my oldest brother, well, he wasn't really my brother, but my mom's best friend gave him to her. And my grandmother adopted him. So he was in my family. He molested me. My dad had a daughter, and I spent the night over her house one night. She molested me. Not only that, she let her boyfriend have sex who took my virginity, and I was so hurt. And I cried, and I cried. Tell him to stop leaving me alone. She said, oh, never mind. It's going to be all right. I mean, it destroyed a lot of my trust and stuff like that. However, my mom died of cancer, so that kind of really made me even vulnerable too. You know, I never felt like I had nobody to talk to, nobody to confide in, to talk to or nothing. Even after my mom died, even when she was here, you know, she was doing her own thing. I couldn't talk to her. You know, I couldn't talk to my aunts. I had nobody to talk to. So I held a lot of stuff in. And anyway, who was going to believe me? You know, I thought. So, you know, I got involved with this guy at the age of 14. That's right after my mom died, because my mom died when I was 14. And he beat me for day in and day out, y'all. I mean, even if I cooked and something that he didn't want, I got my butt whooped every day, all day. He broke my nose. And this all happened when I was between 14 and 15. He broke my leg. I was in the hospital. I stayed in the hospital like 9 months. And did nobody come see me. Nobody. I didn't have nobody. My mom was dead. My dad came. No brother. No aunt. No cousins. Nobody came. And the doctor told me if I would have not came to the hospital when I did, I would have died. And I stayed with him when I was 14. I waited until I was 18 years old. And he messed with all my friends. And I dropped out of school so I could watch him, because I thought I loved him and I didn't want him messing with my friends. So I dropped out of school so I could watch him, thinking that it was going to be better, but it wasn't. He continued to abuse me. He abused me. Talk bad to me. I mean, physically, mentally, we was both abusive. He would embarrass me in front of his friends. We would go around his friends. They would all make jokes and laugh. He would laugh at me. And we went to his auntie club one night, and he punched me in the face, and he poured beer all in my face and told me I wasn't nothing. And all my life I heard that I wasn't nothing and I would never be nothing. So I took it very personal. I began to do drugs for comfort. And I just wanted to die. I didn't want to live no more because I felt like the world was so cruel. And how could you not care about a child? But I was introduced to Jesus. And there's somebody I could talk to that I know that never would tell nobody. That I could tell all my hurt and my pain to, and I didn't have to worry about him telling nobody. I could tell him anything that I wanted to. And he was one person that I could trust in that I know would never hurt me. And I fell in love with him. And I started reading my Bible, and I started praying and stuff like that. And I came up on this verse, and it's Romans 8:28, which is my favorite verse. And it says that all things work together for the good for those who go, who love God and who are, and that are called according to his purpose. And I believe I was called. After all that I've been through, I don't believe if I wouldn't have went through it. At first I didn't understand it, but now I do. If I wouldn't have went through that, I wouldn't be where I am today. I'm an evangelist in my church. I'm on an usher board in my church. I have a beautiful husband that loves me, that don't hit me. And right to this day, due to drugs, CPS took my baby. And my family stepped in. My mama still saying she would not let me see my baby. I've been clean and sober going on 4 years, and I never, ever, ever see my baby. And I talk to my family daily. They just had a party not too long ago, and my little girl was there. And I just want her to love her, and I love her. They won't let me have no communication with her, and I don't know why, but I know God, he's going to work that out too. You know, it's just that I want to see her because I don't want her to go through what I went through, because my mom never told me that I love her, that she loved me. She was too busy doing everything but telling me that she loved me. And that she even told me that I wasn't nothing, I wasn't going to be nothing. She was very mean to me. As a child coming up, called me B's and A's and said I was fast and all kind of stuff. My daddy called me ugly. He called me everything. You know, so I don't want my daughter. I want to support her, and I want her to stay in school. I want her to get an education and stuff, and I want her to be something in life, and I want her to know how much I love her. And I just want that opportunity to do that. And I know eventually, sooner or later, he will give me the opportunity. Thank y'all for letting me share. Hello?
I want to address something that you just said. You said the name calling and everything, how they called your name. They told you were ugly. Let me tell you, you are not ugly, okay? You're a very beautiful young lady, okay? They get you down. If it did get you down at one time, don't let that keep you down, okay? Because you are not ugly. You are a beautiful young lady, okay? And you keep that in mind, okay? Don't let that get you down. That was just something to try to pull you down. You are beautiful.
Yes, and I can relate to my parents weren't alcoholics, but my mother, for the first time, said "I love you" to me about 7 years ago, and it felt so uncomfortable. I didn't know how to respond, and I thought she was lying. So I understand the emptiness of not knowing or having that communication from a mother about love. And so I myself have a daughter who just turned 24 in January. And I make it a point, even though she's 24, she's on her own, she's a professional lady, has her everything, she's doing very, very wonderful for herself. I make sure that at least once a month we have mother-daughter night. Because I'm like you. I want my child to know that I love her and that I'm here. And even though, like I said, we now don't live under the same roof, I still want her to know and don't feel like, because she used to make, in the beginning when this organization started and I was always on the go, I'm still on the go, but I make time for her now, she would make these comments, "Oh, Mom, can you pencil me in?" Or, "Mom, you're not going to have time." So now I make sure that I have time for my child, and that at least one evening out of the month, every month, I don't answer text or look at my phone. It's me and her in the kitchen cooking, laughing, and watching movies. So I do understand how it feels to have that emptiness from not having the love that as a child we desire so much from our mother. So
exactly. Even
though, you know, some mothers don't know how to express it or show it, they do love us. My mother now, she's my backbone. She's my support. We have to talk at least 2 or 3 times a week. But over time, that built up. And like I said, she just said, "I love you" for the first time 7 years ago. And even though our relationship has mended, sometimes when she says, "I love you," I still have that moment where I'd be like, 100%,
right.
You know, or is it 80%? What is it like today? Because me and my mother have had fist fights. And some people be like, "What? You hit your mom?" Dead smack in the face with my fist, I did. But that was the relationship me and my mother had at that time. And that's why I tell people that story, because it just shows you what God can do. And I said all that to say, yes, right now you may be separated from your child or your children, but in God's time, we never understand his timing and how he works things out. But in God's time, that'll mend. Prime example, for me being transparent and being obedient, my family is divided. People don't understand. Yes, my biological father molested me and raped me, but I forgave him. And we had a relationship up until we had a relationship up until I opened my mouth. I haven't spoken to my father or my sister in over 2 years now because I'm telling my story, and my sister witnessed the abuse. But when you have those people who don't, you're right, who's going to believe me? Hey, so I understand the hurt, the feeling of being lost, the frustration, and at times the why me. And God did take you through all of what he took you through so you could share your story and show other women that I've gone through this, but look at me now. I'm not 6 feet under. I'm not in a mental institute. I'm not on the corner somewhere. I'm in church. I'm striving. Yes, I have room for some other things that need to be worked out, but in God's time, all those things to be worked out. So keep your head up, keep striving, keep being strong. And every day when I wake up, okay, God, do you have in store for me today? What new is going to happen? That may be that one day where your child knocks on your door. You just never know. So I do commend you.
Well, I guess we all have it in common, because my mom I grew up and my mom didn't tell us, you know, "I love you" either. So we all have that in common. But I made sure that I told my kids, "I love you." Well, because that was one of the things that, you know, I lacked growing up. So I made sure I gave that to my kids. And I think that's something that a lot of people do, is you pay attention to what you lack, and so you give that to, you know, your kids. The things that you lack. At least I know that that's the thing that I try to do. The things that I lacked growing up is the things that I try to make sure I gave my kids. And that's definitely one of the things that I did. Now, you said that your mom and dad were alcoholics. Now, my dad was an alcoholic. So, you know, and that's one of the things I try to make sure that I didn't turn out to be, because he was an alcoholic. So we have that in common. My dad was an alcoholic.
Well, I didn't really do no other drugs or anything, but I was on crack cocaine, and I never did nothing else, but I was around the wrong type of, you know, I didn't have positive support. All the support that I had wasn't really support, it was negative support, you know what I'm saying? So they was like, "Well, come on, let's get high," or whatever, you know, and escape the pain and everything I was going through. I didn't have nobody to talk to or nothing like that,
So that's how I escaped the pain and stuff. I was going through my drugs, which was the wrong way.
Now, I know you said your virginity was taken. How old were you?
Like 8 or 9.
Wow.
Well, I feel like that should have been my choice because I thought that we were just going out for ice cream. My sister, she had a boyfriend. I thought we were just going out for ice cream. And she took me way out of the motel by the DFW airport, and they made out, and then she let him have sex with me. And I was crying, y'all. I was crying for good life, and she did not curl. She did not try to stop it.
Did anything happened to him that you said? Did you tell anyone anything after
no,
that?
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to do or hold it was. But when we went back, she gave me a bath and stuff, and you know, and stuff like that. Before she took me to my mom's to make sure that I was, you know, taking care of her, she took me a bath and you know, stuff like that. If I knew what I did now, I wouldn't have took a bath. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't.
Right.
Called
yeah.
My mom and called police, you know, and they could have had evidence. But I'm young. I didn't know all of that.
Right.
But I hated her for that. But
it's
I have
grown
a
women that don't know that.
Ma'am?
I was just saying, there's grown women that don't know. I mean, to this day, that's the first thing you want to do is take a shower or take a bath because you feel, you know.
No, dirty, yeah.
Yes. Did you ever, you said you dropped out of school, did you ever, and Seth, I didn't take over you, I'm going to be quiet in a minute. Did you ever go back to school? I know you said you dropped out of school.
Yes, I'm going right now for my, GED, and I called Eastfield College because I want to counsel, I want to counsel adolescents, on up to adults for drug and alcohol, and they said, yes, I can come and get my bachelor's. And as soon as I told her that I was in the process of getting my GED, she said, once you get your GED, call me back, and then we're going to work on your bachelor's. And then after your bachelor's, you can go, if you want to, you can go for your master's.
That's awesome.
So that's what I'm doing.
Wow. Well, I'm going to pray for you because I'm a student myself, and school is interesting. It's challenging. So every student, anyone that's trying to better themselves, I commend them. I will support and, honey, pray because it is challenging. I'm in statistics now, and I feel like I'm going to lose my mind any day now. Any day. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm like, who made this class?
I just thank God to have a lot of good support now. My church is so supportive. I mean, my church is very supportive. I have all the ladies in there supportive to me. I have their numbers. I call them. They tell me how much they love me. And they older ladies, too, like mom or a granny or something, you know. And, I love them so much. And they love me, too. Because I ain't see you at church Sunday. What happened or whatever? They call and check on me or I text them or they'll text me. I mean, I feel so much love. So God has He don't take nothing without replacing it with something. You know what I'm saying? And even though I went through that, I mean, it's just like they my family. You know what I'm saying? They love me so much.
Yeah, and what we've learned over time, just because somebody has the same or similar DNA and the same blood runs in their veins, they're just family because of that. It doesn't make them family. You have some friends and some associates, yes, that are closer to you than your family members. So I know some people, their families, and I love it. There was a point in time I was envious. When they say family, they mean family, and you better not say nothing about their family. I get it.
Yeah.
Everyone doesn't have that type of family relationship. And I tell people that I've met that have that family bond, you all don't know how blessed you are.
Right.
So some of us don't know what it feels like to be part of a family. We may have been born into one, but we were not a part of one.
Right.
There's a difference. So that's good that God has given you.
And I talked to my cousin, the part of my family, got my daughter, and I talked to him regularly, you know. And she was like, you know, one thing I could say about you, you never run it to the family. You kept it outside the family. You never run that around us. So I'm thinking to myself, well, if I never run that around y'all, why are you so mean? But it's not my call to ask why. God knows why, and I know he's going to straighten it out. He'll straighten it out like he said in his due time. You know, it just confuses to me, but it's not for me to figure out. It's for God to figure it out. And I had to forgive, and once I started forgiving, that's when my healing began. That's why I began to heal, when I knew that, you know, that I can't go around the rest of my life thinking about, which I think about it, but I can't go around the rest of my life stuck on what happened to me, because I have a child now, and I have, not only that, I have dreams and I have hopes, and if I be stuck, I can't complete what I need to do for God, for my father. You know, I have to forgive him and go on. Whatever it is that the Lord wants me to do, I have to do what he said do, and one of them is forgive others and love them no matter what. If they despitefully use and abuse you, still love them and move on, you know, and that's what he told me to do. And sometimes it's hard to do that, but the only reason why I do it is because he told me to do it, and he make it to where I can do it, because he said he will not put no more on me and I can burn, and I know he won't. If he said forgive and do it, I can do it because he told me to do it, so he's not going to tell me to do something that I can't do.
Right.
So I do what he said to me. And I know he said, revenge is his, says the Lord. So I will repay. So as long as I stay up under his umbrella and continue to do what I'm doing and stay prayed up and just continue to work, do what he asked me to do, then I'll be all right.
Exactly. And you're sounding a lot stronger right now than you sounded a few minutes ago. So I am so proud of you.
But, you know, sometimes truth and crying is healing. You know, sometimes my feelings get in the way when I share it, because the reason why I cry, because I'm so blessed. And a lot of people that out there went through the same thing, they did not make it out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make it out. So when I cry, that's another way of me thanking, say, Lord, thank you that I made it out. Even all the things I went through, you still brought me through, you, I made it out. I couldn't even walk. I'm walking now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to be paralyzed on one side of my body. That's what the doctor said, but that ain't what God said.
That's what
you
man
think
said.
I'm saying?
God had another plan.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm blessed.
So if you could give encouraging words to somebody out there that could be going through some of the same things that you're going through, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that, because I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think that I was worthy. I didn't think that I deserved anything good, you know, because that's how I was told down. But I want them to know that they are worthy. They are worth it. They are worth love. They are worth Jesus. He offered himself to them that they don't have to go through nothing like that, because he himself, Jesus, the Lord of all, the Savior, he would never treat them like that. So if he would never treat them like that, why would they let a human treat them like that? But, you know, sometimes we just get in a situation that we can't feel like that we can't get out of. But, you know, as long as you got Jesus and hold on to him, you can come out of it and you can do this. And you are strong. You're beautiful. You're strong. You're lovable. You're kind. And claim all of those things for yourself, because you are all that and some. So you can do this. And I'll be praying for them, and I love y'all. All.
I see that we have some callers. Is there anybody that wants to chime in with any thoughts that they may have? Nobody wants to say anything? Okay. Well, Anne, what I say as a survivor, did someone say something?
Okay. As a survivor of 24 consecutive years, I hate that I can say that I've experienced, I can elaborate and talk about from experience just about every type of abuse there is. And as Stephanie said, to hear you from when you started out to now, how, and yes, crying heals, it helps. It's a way of the anger. It's a way of letting all that out. It's a way of saying, thank you, I made it through it. You look back, you're like, wow. Because even for me, when I think about some of the things that I've gone through, yes, the tears flow. And I could be driving, I could be watching TV. It does not even matter. Prime example. Today I was looking at our new website that I mentioned earlier, and Stephanie, you had a chance. Right now it seems to, because it hadn't all transferred over from our old domain to our new domain, so it's better to look at it on your PC. All the things that we've done, all the places we've spoken, all the lives that we've touched, it was overwhelming when I saw that. And I started crying just to see a website, but for you and your tears, yes, you've gone through so much. I did not experience the drug abuse. So even in that aspect, for you to go through what you went through, and then you turned to drugs to numb so you couldn't feel, that you could get through the thing that you were feeling prior to the drug use, and then for you to overcome that. Because drug abuse, that's an addiction. And you even, not only were you strong enough to survive domestic violence, but you were strong enough to overcome an addiction. That's powerful.
Very
and so
powerful.
As you were speaking, yes, as you were speaking, that's why I was taking notes. Like, okay, you dropped out of school, did you go back? And your thing is, I'm not letting anything stop me. I don't care what you say or said. I'm not letting anything stop me. Because God has a purpose and a calling on my life. Because I can tell you all the things that I've gone through and I'm still standing. And I love that. The fact that, yes, you were crying, your voice was trembling, to I am powerful. It did not break me. It may have bent me at that time, but it didn't
right.
break me. Didn't break me. I'm still standing. So the confidence that you have in you right now, that strong, that strength, that I am here, as we say, hear me roar. That is our special year survivor saying, hear me roar. You're roaring right now. And I just really thank you for sharing what you shared, for having the strength, because a lot of people cannot and will not speak about what has happened to them. I have a friend. She has a nonprofit, and it's called Silent Screams. The name is powerful. And her members of her organization will not and cannot talk about their abuse. They won't do it. So everyone can't do what we do. Everyone can't get up and speak, whether it's in person, over the phone, behind closed doors, one-on-one. There are still people that cannot do it. So I thank you for your strength. I thank you for sharing your story. And actually, I really want to bring you on a larger platform, and I'm going to invite you for our other show that we have, the television show that I was talking about. It's on an international level, because people
sure.
need to hear your story. They need to really
yeah.
hear it. So I'll have Stephanie, because I know our first available slot now is in June. That's how fast we are getting these slots filled up. But I'll have Stephanie handle that. I think it's right now. I think we have the second, because I want to make sure we don't book somebody. The second, because your story needs to be heard on a larger scale. And like I stated, our that show, you have to be actually in the studio, but it's on a Friday from 7 to 9. So if you can make it, we would truly love to have you.
Well, whenever you have, you ready, get ready, just let me know.
Okay. So I'll communicate
Dallas,
with.
If it's in Dallas, I'll be there.
Oh, it's in
it's
Dallas.
It's in Dallas.
Okay. Yes, it is.
I'll be
there. So.
Even if I have to catch the bus, I'll be there.
Oh, yes. Your story is it's amazing. Because I had you on speakerphone, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. I picked up a pen and paper and started writing. It's powerful. And I want people to see and hear, now that they get to see it, hear that, you know, because when you put a face, so I'm really excited about what's about to transpire for us and where we're going, because now people can see a survivor, not just hear us, but they can see us smiling. They can see our hair is combed. We got nice clothes on. Our shoulders are, you know, our shoulders are back. Our heads are held high. Hey, yes, this happened to me, but look at me now.
Right.
So, your story is moving. It was a wow for me, and like I said, to hear you now, and the strength in your voice, I'm like, okay, she's got to come on the show, so people can see you put a face to your story. Wow. Stephanie, I love your guest, honey.
Yes. Thank you. I love y'all too.
Oh, thank you. And survivors, we all need to come together. That's one of the things with We Are Survivors. I always say that I really want our environment to be family, because we've all gone through so much. We all know what it's like to be shunned. We all know what it's like to be lied on. We all know what it's like to be talked about. And so within my organization, it is from top, including myself, to the members, because there's such a thing as a bottom, to the members, to the leadership team, to whomever is a part of We Are Survivors, volunteers, vendors, I don't care, whomever it may be. We treat each other like a true family, and we're there to support whomever it may be, because we're going to support each other. We're going to have, we decided, you know, when we have meetings, we're going to turn the end of the meetings, we're going to close with some games, just to be happy, just to laugh, because we've all gone through so much. So we now have to appreciate life.
Yeah.
Because God has given
and
us
I
a
do.
Chance.
I do. I really do. I really, really do.
And we do, as survivors, view things totally differently. If something occurs, we'll be like, that is not even that major. If you walk a mile, as they say, walk a mile in my old shoes, not my new ones. I've changed shoes, but walk a mile in my old shoes. And then come to me and complain about
it. Right. That's right.
And I was like, oh, gosh, this happened or that happened. Girl, imagine this or imagine that. And then put your mouth
on. And, you know,
on.
I was so blessed last night. I was on a bus, and this lady, she's like 22 or 21, 23, something like that. And she, for some reason, She sat next to me. My husband was in the front because we had our groceries. So she sat next to me, and she did that lady just started talking to me. And she was like, sometimes it gets hard for me. She from UT and going to school for business and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's good. And we was talking, and she said, sometimes I just want to give up. And that was my opportunity. I prayed that morning before I got out. I said, Lord, help somebody, not me be a blessing to them, but they be a blessing to me to share the word of God with them, right? So I was like, don't give up. I said, don't be like me. She said, what you talking about? So I got to share that same story with her. And she was like, just now, I feel so motivated. And I thank you so much. I needed that. And I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm talking to you like I'm talking to my daughter, because I got a daughter that's 21, and my baby is going to be 15. So I was like, I'm talking to you the way I'm talking to my daughter, because I want somebody to tell my baby the same thing. You know what I'm saying? If she's like, well, I'm about to give up, I don't want to do this. That's how I started. That's how I started with me. I don't want to do this. My mama don't love me. My dad is alcoholic. He jumps and beats my mom. I just don't want to do this no more. I'm being molested. I'm not doing this. I'm leaving. I'm running away. You know, that's how it all started. But by me being able to encourage her, that was really nothing but God. It wasn't my word. It was his word speaking through me to her. And she was like, I thank you so much. I feel a whole lot better, and I feel more positive, and I feel a lot of energy, and I just think I can do this now. And I said, you can. You can do that. And she just hugged me so tight and so long, and I had to get off the bus, and I didn't want to break it, but I was like, I got to go. I'll miss my spot. I got to get off, And she's like, I feel so good. I'm so glad that I met you. So you just don't know how that made me feel. To know
that. Go ahead.
You know that it's a show. It's called Play It Forward.
Mm-hmm.
Play It Forward. It's something like that. You know, even though that happened to me, I'm studying Playing It Forward, And that made me feel so good. I mean, that I didn't do it for me. I did that so God can get that glory. Because, look, yes. I shared a lot of stuff with her and where I am today. She's like, wow. I was like, yes. So if I can do it, you can do it. I was like, you don't have to worry about kissing no man behind. I didn't cuss because she was, I look at her as my daughter. So I said, you don't have to kiss no man, but or feel like you have to depend on no man as long as you got what you want. You don't have to be limited. Don't limit yourself, because go ahead and get your education, because once you get your education and do what you need to do, you're not limited. I'm limited because I'll get disability. It's so much that you can do on disability. That's not enough money for anything. If it weren't for me and my husband pulling together, we both get disabilities to make it more money, we wouldn't be able to make it. Even when you go, I told her, I said, even when you apply for apartments and housing, they want 2.5, sometimes like 3 times the rent. So if you're limited on disability or Social Security, well, you don't have number one check. So that's not 2 times the rent. That's only 1 time the rent. And you would not go, 9 out of 10, you're going to get turned down. I say, so that means you're going to have to depend on other people. And then once you start having to depend on other people, like a man or whatever, I say, then once you depend on him, he feel like he can talk to you any kind of way. You're going to do what he say do, because I'm taking care of you or I'm helping you. I say, I don't want you to go through that because it's no fun. Then he's going to start hitting on you because you don't want to do what he wants you to do. I was just breaking it down to her. She was listening. She was really off into listening, And I just really shared a lot of stuff with her. So I just talked to her like I was talking to my daughter, and it made me feel like I was talking to my daughter. It was just awesome. It was awesome. So it really was.
It was really a loud God.
Yes, because you got a testimony. Yes, you got a testimony. That's what that is. Motivating and changing lives. That's my thing. If a word, a sentence, a paragraph, a documentary, whatever it may take, my thing is, God is, I'm a vessel, and my job is to bring people to him by sharing my testimony, to show them that, hey, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't by no means look like what I've been through. And I'm going to tell you who brought me through. Let me tell you about them. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's all we do. And share our testimonies. So people be like, girl, how you make it through that? G-O-D.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Praying something.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, well, tell me about him. I had my niece. My niece lived with me about a year ago. And she said to me,
She says, "Aunt Wanda, I'm jealous." And I was like, "Girl, please, we don't use that word in here. What are you talking about?" And she said, "I'm jealous of the relationship that you have with God." I was like,
what?
"Girl, what?" Yes. I said, "Well, baby, you can have your personal relationship with God." She said, "But I am so jealous. Do I see what God does for you?"
Right.
So I'm on my job. And that's
right.
What we do as survivors. We show everybody else what God has done and what he's still doing. For all of us.
Get my number from I forgot her name. The other, like the one that introduced you to me.
Stephanie.
Yeah, because I want all of us to stay in contact. She got my number.
Oh, definitely.
I want you to stay in contact with me, and I want to show you love, and we can show each other love, and we're going to do this thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Definitely.
What is this station?
It's actually online. And what we can do is just text you the link. And then if you want to call in to listen and participate, which we recommend everybody, we can also include in that text the number to call in so that you can call in, be a part of it. It's every Thursday from 6 to 7. So we can make sure you get that information. So if you ever, if you want to call in every Thursday, feel free. We have different people
at this number right here. At the number right here?
The 310-9. It's the number is,
I'll text it to her.
It's 3.
Okay, she says she'll text it to me.
But for whoever is listening
to. So I just call this number?
Yes, you can just call in and you'll be online with us.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and we, like I said, we're here every Thursday from 6 to 7. And those who are listening, that number is 310-982-4126. Again, it's 310-982-4126. All you have to do is call in to that number Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We're here except on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. We are here every week except for those weeks. Now, there has been a couple of times me and Stephanie has actually been sick the exact same time. So then we have archive shows, but that's probably happened maybe twice, and we'll be on the air. It'll be 2 years in June. So we're coming up on 2 years.
Good. That is great.
Yes. So we're 2 years in the making, and then now, like I said, God, because we've been diligent, and Stephanie can't contest to this. There's been times when it's been me and her on the line, and we'll just talk amongst ourselves, and we never gave up, and we just stayed fast to this vision that God gave us, because I didn't ask for this, and because we were diligent on this radio show, he has elevated us. Oh, my God, has he elevated us. He has really elevated us, and it's because we were faithful, and we didn't ask for the platform we're going on starting tomorrow. Did not ask for it. And it's a wow. But I'll be glad, Anne, when you can come on that show and give your testimony. Because, you know, people see you, when people see your face, see your body language, see your enthusiasm, that is going to make so much difference for that young lady that's on the bus. Because the one thing about our program, it is streamed live. And now everybody has their smartphones, their iPads. People watch more TV on their smart devices than they do on TV. It's amazing.
The age that we're
in. We have about 2 minutes before the show comes to an end, maybe less than 2 minutes. Stephanie, you have anything you want to say or close out with?
What? Again, Ann, I want to thank you. It was an honor meeting you on my birthday and now having you on the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are so welcome, and it was a pleasure meeting you. And I did not know it was your birthday. But happy belated birthday. And you did not tell nobody. I don't know why you were so quiet about it. I would have been saying, today my birthday. But you did not do that. If you would have told me, I would at least told you happy birthday.
Well, you know, after you started telling me your story, that took my focus there. It wasn't about
me. Okay.
You know, I was into you and what you had gone through, you know. It wasn't all about me.
Yeah. But I really appreciate you, and I thank you for inviting me to the show, and I really had a blast. I really did. And I enjoyed you all very much, and I'll be praying for y'all and just telling my daddy I'm just going to pray blessings upon y'all.
Thank you.
When praises go up, blessings come down. He said he'll pour out so many blessings on you, you won't be able to receive them.
Yes. And are you on social media? Are you on Facebook or Instagram or anything?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. But my husband really don't like me going on Facebook. There's so much stuff going on Facebook and stuff like that. But I do have a Facebook page. I don't know everything it is, how to work it and everything. I want to do some old photos on it, but I don't know how to put them on there. My cousin showed me how to do it, but I kind of forgot. But I have some pictures on there and stuff.
Okay. Stephanie or somebody, we need to get your, so you can at least be a part of our page, our We Are Survivors, because we do have a We Are Survivors page, and that way you can keep up with a lot of stuff that we do, because we are in the community a whole lot.
And I would love that. I really would. Anytime y'all need me, just call me and I'll be there.
Thank you.
And y'all have my utmost support. Y'all have my utmost support.
And we need
support.
People don't understand. Our support is what keeps us going, because Stephanie and I can contest that we get tired and get frustrated and get into our own feelings and emotions, and the support that we get keeps us going.
Yes, it
keeps us going. So we want to once again thank you for taking the time out to be on our show, because we do not take it for granted that you took out of your personal time and making your chicken. I hope it tastes good, because you're not sharing with us over the airwaves.
Now I'm looking at it. I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm going to tie it up.
That's okay. I hope you enjoy it. We thank you, and for all those listening now and later. Thank you, and everyone, don't forget to go to our new website, www.wearesurvivorsfoundation.org. Let us know what you think about it. Until the next time we talk, may God bless you. And, hey, we're here for you to help support, to help lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again.
Amen. Thank you. Bye, y'all.
Good night. Bye.